Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study here at the Lighthouse. We're glad you're joining us here. Whether you're in the building or online, we're thankful. I want to remind you, feel free to make comments, ask questions online as well. Post your comments and we'll get those answered to the best we can. How many of you are thankful to be in church tonight? It's good to be in the company of other believers. Amen. It's good to be with like-minded people. So I appreciate you showing up tonight. Again, if you have something in your heart to share, which I'm sure that you do, I want to hear it because you have something to say that I need to hear. So we are walking through the stewardship series. We've done teaching on stewarding finances. We've done teaching on stewarding time, and we've done teaching on stewarding your health. And this series is on spiritual wellness, so stewarding the spiritual aspect of our lives. And before we get into this, I want to go through and highlight a couple things that I felt were important from last week in case you were here or in case you weren't here. And just as a reminder, a refresher if you were. But one of those is, and it's on the front of your paper, and if you didn't get one, I think there still may be some in the back. If you did bring it from last week, it's still the same thing. Sister Karen's shaking her head. No, we got all of those handed out. But one of the things that I want to remind us of is that the Word is our standard of spiritual wellness. It is our basis to know whether we are spiritually healthy or not. And it's important to have that established in our hearts and in our minds because the Word never changes. It is the same all the time. We can have more of the Word revealed to us. We can have more understanding of the Word, but it is the same Word that is being revealed to us. We just understand it better. It is not changing. We change. Yes. So it's important that we hold on to the Word of God as our standard. So the other point I wanted to make, and this might not be on there, that's a question that I want to ask. How can I be a steadfast Christian if I don't even know what God expects of me? How can I be steadfast in my faith and my walk with Christ if I don't know what God expects of me? So what does God expect of us? Sister April, I didn't expect anybody to get up. Praise the Lord, Sister April.
Well, I think one of the easiest ways is to be in the house of the Lord whenever the doors are open, because you're going to hear from people what God is saying through them.
Yes, absolutely. God has said that we need to come to the house of God or a place of worship and worship with other believers, right? That is important. God expects us to do that. It's not only for His benefit, but it's for our benefit, right? We grow when we do those things. So how do we know what God expects of us? How do we know? And I gave you the answer in the last point. We read it, right? Everything God expects of us is written in His Word. And it's pretty simple. He expects us to have faith, right? Faith in what He's already said. Faith in the sacrifice of His Son. And having faith in God begins to build our relationship with Him. So really, that's what God wants us to put our faith in Him, begin our relationship, and continue in it, even when it gets hard, right? That's where faith comes in. So the other thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the new part of the lesson is relationship, spending time with God. And I want to ask you, and I'm not going to move on until I get at least three answers, so you can count when people come up. I want to encourage participation. How do you spend time with God? What do you do to spend time with God? How do you do that? What does it look like? How do you spend time with God? Sister Sally.
Well, to spend time with God, we live according to what he tells us, and we read the word, we pray to him, we okay. keep him foremost in our mind. We don't put the worldly stuff there. We always have, the worldly stuff is there, but he's always foremost. He's always the first. And we pray, and we pray. Prayer is really the best way to get, and read the word. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we think that we're doing what we say because we do what the Ten Commandments, you know, we do that. But talking and obeying God is more than that. We got to read the whole word and listen to the rest of it that doesn't say thou shalt. Or, you know, we listen to that too because it isn't all put out in black and white with 1, 2, 3.
Right.
So that's why it's important that we read the word. Every day we keep stay in the word and we pray. And we have a conversation with God.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
Okay, so conversing with God, we need to make sure that we do that. Somebody else, what does it look like when you spend time with God? Pastor Darius.
It sounds like a simple question, and it sounds like there's only one simple answer, but that's not true.
Right.
It's even deeper than that. Isn't it written in the scripture that the Holy Spirit dwells in us? So we understand the fact that we pray and we spend time with God when we do, and please, let's keep doing that. But at the same time, God is always with us.
Amen.
And I believe we spend time with God when we acknowledge that, when we know that he's with us 24/7, and when we walk in that knowledge that wherever we go and whatever we do, in him we move, in him we walk. Therefore, all we have to do is acknowledge it and not just think that we're spending time with God only when we pray.
Right.
Because that would be very religious.
Yes.
God is always with us. We just need to acknowledge it, walk in it. Even if you work in the most hostile place, there is God. And there you can manifest the kingdom of God. So come into church, you spend time with God. And also, when you do God's work, you are partnering with him. And he's spending time with you, and you're spending time with him. So let's not narrow down the spending time with God thing with just prayer. Even though, I repeat, prayer is very critical and important to be able to acknowledge that he's always with us.
Right, absolutely. That's a great point. So acknowledging that God lives in us through his Holy Spirit can open the door for intimacy because we know that he is with us. Now, as Sister Sally said, it's important for us to set aside specific time dedicated. The only thing I'm going to be doing right now is praying. I'm going to get every other distraction out of my mind. I'm going to push every other distraction out of my house. I'm going to go in the bedroom and lock the door. Whatever it takes, we all have to have time each day to get alone with God. Because it's in those moments that we grow closer to God. It's in those moments where intimacy is at its best, I believe. Because we have set that time aside. And as Pastor Derry said, it's very easy to make spending time with God a religious activity. If you are a person of structure and you are a person that sets time limits up in your day and says, okay, I'm going to set aside this time because I know if I don't, I'll just brush past it. So I'm one of those people that I will set aside a certain amount of time each day and I will say, okay, this is my devotional time. And I have to be careful because I don't want it to be religious. I want it to be relational. And so I brought this up to say, it's going to look very different for everyone. And if in my mind I say, okay, today I'm just going to kneel down in front of my chair and I'm going to pray. Well, honestly, that doesn't work for me every day. It doesn't. Sister Sally, do you have a comment?
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't. You don't have to just have a certain time. He's with me all the time, and I know it. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. It's in my body. It's in my soul. And for everything I do, I sweep the floor. I say, thank you, Lord, that I had the energy to do that.
Absolutely.
I fix something to eat. I talk to somebody. I say, thank you, Lord. Pray. And I say, take care of them. Because he's with me all the time.
Right.
And praise. You got to pray and praise him because he wants to praise.
Absolutely.
And he gets it from me because he's with me all the time.
Amen. Amen. Again, that's acknowledging that whether you're sweeping the floor, whether you're cooking dinner, whether you're at work, the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and we have a constant connection with God. Brother Scott.
So I was on my way to Finley today, and I pray a lot in my car. But today, how to say, it was kind of unique for me because not very often when I'm praying do I think to myself, wow, what's that? You know what I mean? The prayers that I was praying, God was giving me to pray, and it was just, to me, it was just like, demon Christmas, overwhelming, and it's hard to describe, but it was just, I mean, the thoughts, and I've heard pastor preaching and say, man, that was good, you know what I mean, but it was just so, today it was so in depth, where I was just like, Oh, yeah, and I was like, he was telling me, he was speaking, you know what I mean? And I was hearing the prayers I was saying were blessing me. And that was just really, that was good stuff.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to do that again tomorrow if I could.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that, and let me share this real quick, and then I'll get to your comment. But our prayers are so important to God that, as Brother Scott said, he will tell us what to pray. This is what you need to ask for right now. This is what you need to pray right now. God needs us to speak it to him. Isn't that amazing that God already knows what needs to happen? But our prayers are powerful and they move God. Pastor Alicia.
I was just thinking, we live in a society where a lot of Christians, if you would ask that question, they would say, well, I go to church. That's where I spend time with God. Because they don't even realize it's meant to be an intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship. And they feel like the place they meet God is in a church building. And that is a very shallow relationship. And it reminds me of Moses, where the people said, you go and talk to God, and you tell us what God said. And today, God is saying that's not the relationship he wants with people.
Right.
And so, how do you spend time with God? It is very much about wanting more of him, wanting him to be involved in every part of your life. And that's the intimacy with God. And as Scott just shared that testimony where he can speak directly to you. And yeah, we can learn a lot of things from teachers and preachers and evangelists, but we can also learn a lot of things directly from God.
Yeah.
And those are the personal, intimate things that won't come from a pastor, because God sees your day-to-day life, what you're dealing with that the pastor doesn't even know about. And when you allow God to speak into your life in that way, he's going to give you direction for what you need to do today.
Yes.
And so that's an everyday choice.
Absolutely. Amen. And that might sound insensitive when, you know, we say that if the only place you're spending time with God is when you come here, but it's because you won't grow. You'll only grow to a certain point, and then that's it. Sister Ruth.
For me, I love music. So there's
a little closer. There we go. Thank you.
For me, I love music. So there's a, and we, I've come from a musical background. So for me, it's a lot of times, you know, when you are doing your praise and worship, a lot of times you can be singing a song or something like that, or listening to a song, you know, and it just does something for you, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's like when you listen to that song, you're singing, you're free. I work from home, so a lot of times I don't have Jake and Xavier with me, and I can shut my computer off. I can listen to a song, and it's just like, that's where I'm at. That's my praise. That's my worship. This is me communicating with the Lord. So what Pastor Darius said, I agree. He's with you wherever you go. It's been times when I was working at the hospital, just sharing some things with somebody, and you feel, you know, God in you when you're just sharing a word to that person or giving them some kind of encouragement, and you feel that, and you turn around and just say, thank you, Lord, for allowing for me to be able to share something with that person.
Absolutely.
There's times where I'm just singing something. I can be in the car, and I'm just singing something, and then you just get that overflow and, you know, overwhelming feeling that, you know what, God, I just love you. I just love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I pray, I read my word, but it's like the, probably from me being in music all my life, and you just, it's just something about that song, being able to sing to him. And there's a lot of times you don't know if you're singing on key, off key, or if you're on letter Z, but you're just singing. It's just how you praise. And I think that's important too, to for people to know. It doesn't just, you know, consist of I'm praying. Yes, you're praying, but just sometimes you can be singing. You can be walking around in the store singing, and you just get that beautiful, overwhelming feeling that God is actually with me.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you for sharing that great comment. It's a connection point. It's a connection point, absolutely, that a lot of us can relate to. So that's good. Thank you again for sharing that. So those are all great comments. Thank you so much for sharing those. And this leads me into my next point here that I want to talk about. And we did talk a little bit about it last week. And this is under the heading of relationship. But we come to a point sometimes where we have to let God heal us and make us whole from the inside out. And we do that through intimacy, coming into a close relationship with God, building trust in Him. And the first step in that is connecting to the healer. If we're not connected to the healer, He can't put anything inside of us. So we need to make that connection through prayer, through worship, through praise, through reading the word, through just sitting in God's presence. Has anybody ever done that? You just say, you know what? I'm just going to sit today, God. I'm going to clear my mind. I'm just going to sit in your presence because I know, as Pastor Derry said, your Holy Spirit is living inside of me. You're already with me. I'm going to clear my mind, and I want to see what you're going to say to me. I just want to spend some time with you, God. I open my heart. I open my mind, and I want you to speak to me. Let's have some fellowship. And it can be very difficult to get to that point in our everyday lives. Can anybody relate to that? Because you have this and this and this and this and this. And if I get to these, there's 75 other things that I've really been wanting to do for the last 6 weeks, but I just don't have time to get that clutter cleared out of our minds and say, God, you are the most important thing. And take that time and devote it to God and see what He'll do. See what He'll do. And one more thing to remember before we go into the next part is that building a relationship with God takes time. It takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. Our salvation is instantaneous. When we accept Christ as our Savior, our salvation is instantaneous. Happens right away. But the relationship building is what takes time. So don't get discouraged. Continue to walk by faith and build your relationship with God, knowing that He is accomplishing in us what He wants to when we walk in step with Him. All right, so let's talk about making our hearts an inhabitable place for God. Making our hearts an inhabitable place for God. So what would be some descriptions of an uninhabitable place, somewhere you would not like to live?
Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah, there's a bunch of people up there that you just want to stay away from. Most of them wear helmets. No, we're just having some fun here. If you're from Michigan, God can save you too. Amen. Go Bucks. So, yeah, talking about Ohio State and I got a blue shirt on, I'm sorry. Would not want to live in a cardboard box. Okay. I wouldn't want to live there either. So when I think of an uninhabitable place, I think of a house that you would see with a condemned sign over it. This house is irreparable and it's been condemned for destruction. Anybody ever seen those in a movie? You know, they come in with a wrecking ball and they knock it all down and they start taking it all out. Yeah, some people do. Some people do. Oh, he said some people do live in houses like that. Some people, that's where they're at, and that's where they're forced to live. So think about the most uninhabitable place that it's not fit for living that you can think of. And I want to say that this heart used to be that way. My heart used to be uninhabitable to God because of my sin condition. It was detestable to God. It was a place where he could not reside until I let him in. And the cool thing about God is once we let him in, he begins to clear the clutter of our hearts. It's amazing the God that we serve is because we think sometimes we need to know and we need to do and we need to and we need to. But most of the time, we just need to let God. We just need to let God. And so it's very interesting to me how God can take a heart like mine and give it life just like that. Because that's what God does. By his Spirit, he comes into us and makes us alive. And then we go down this road of sanctification, that as we grow in our relationship with God, he begins to reveal things that are in our hearts that we didn't even know were there, that we haven't dealt with for a long time. And sometimes God brings us to this place to where we have to make a decision where we either bury this thing that God is continuing to bring to the surface. And if we choose that route, guess what? It's another trip around the mountain because God loves us and he's going to bring us back to this point to where he says, okay, this is something that has to be dealt with for growth and health. And this has been very fresh in my spirit because of something that God has dealt with me about recently. And so this time, I made the right decision. I'm not going around that mountain again. I've begun this path, and God has been doing great things in me, and I just can't express to you the relief and the release that I felt because I said yes to God. It's an amazing thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And God began to reveal this to me. I use myself as an example because I don't want to, you know, say anything else about anyone else's life because I don't know, but I know my life. And this sinful nature was beginning to creep up, and my flesh was trying to get the upper hand, and my heart was becoming a hostile place for God. Scary place to be. And once the lights came on and I realized what God was doing and what he was saying, I didn't want to go down that road. Couldn't see the end of it. Don't want to see the end of it. Don't want anything to do with it. And so God did a transformation in me. So how do we make our hearts an inhabitable place for God? How do we do that? What begins that process of saying yes to God? Well, first of all, it's salvation, right? We need the Holy Spirit to come into us and make us alive. That's the first step, right? So then after that, as I said, God begins to deal with us individually and say, okay, let's walk this road together. And it looks different for each of us, right? We each need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? If I try to walk Pastor Joe's road to salvation, it's not going to look right for me. It's not going to fit me right, right? Holy Spirit saves us, but we need to stay saved, right? We need to continue to make choices in our lives that keep us within the will of God. We don't want to be disobedient to God. If I begin to disobey God and walk away from Him, I'll end up right back where I was, right? Because that's what I was before, was a son of disobedience. Is this making sense to anybody? Pastor Alicia.
Sometimes God will tell someone that they can't do something that other people can do just fine. And we get into problems when we try to make that a law for everyone. Because yes. We're talking about spiritual wellness. And when you're trying to maintain something that wasn't for you to maintain, you're not going to be well. And so just an example, my dad always said when he was a young man and a young Christian, God told him to stop playing softball because he loved softball and he played all the time. So if he would go around and tell all of his friends, God said you can't play softball, that's putting a hard burden on them to bear, that they're not going to have the grace to bear it and they're not going to be spiritually well trying to do something that God did not put on them. And likewise, if he continued to play softball because God did tell him, he's not going to be spiritually well. And so it always goes down to what is God telling you to do, and then not mandating that for everybody else, but really just receiving it just for yourself,
right?
And not comparing yourself to everyone else.
Yeah, because maybe, I'll just use Pastor Joe because he's right here, but maybe Pastor Joe has conquered something in his life and it doesn't have an effect on him, but I might not be there yet. So I can't look at Pastor Joe's life and say, wow, Pastor Joe, you know, loves football and watches it every Sunday, but, you know, that's my time with God, and so I want to be like Pastor Joe and watch football for 4 hours on a Sunday. Not that he is ever able to do that, I don't know, but I'm just using that as an example. He's a very busy individual, so there was probably a little bit of sarcasm in there. But I can't judge my life by someone else's and think what someone else can do is okay for me, because it might not be. And I want to read Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And this is going along the lines of how do we make our hearts an inhabitable place for God. And Pastor Debbie spoke on Sunday during worship about walking in step with Christ. And when He steps, we step. And when He steps, we step. And when we do that, we create an inhabitable place for the Spirit of God in our hearts. See, the flesh is hostile to God, so when we obey Christ, we're not giving our flesh any power in our lives. So when we obey Christ, we're continuing this culture of growth and relationship in our hearts. It eliminates striving in the relationship. How many of you parents have ever had, or you know, even if you're not parents, maybe you had a niece or a nephew or a neighbor that you've had an experience where this child is disobedient and it creates strife in the relationship. Maybe you've actually been in a household where you knew that parent-child relationship was not good. And the longer you stay there, the more you realize it was from disobedience from the child. So we are God's children, right? So it is important for us to be obedient to God, to build the relationship with Him. The more we obey God, the more it shows that we trust Him, the more faith we put in Him, and the more we grow. Now, God is long-suffering and God is patient. So I am not saying that if you decide to disobey God, you're on your way to hell. That's not what I'm saying at all. God is long-suffering and He is patient, and He knows how to get us to shift into obedience mode. Amen? All right, wanted to make that clear. Matthew 11:29 says this, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Our souls are the seat of our emotions. How many of us have been driven after things that are ungodly because of our emotions? Your emotions aren't in check. You're saying ungodly things, you're doing ungodly things because our emotions are not in check. Our soul, the seat of our emotion, is not at rest. It's not at peace. And so I look at it like this. If you've ever seen oxen yoked together, are they ever just walking out in a field by themselves? What is always behind them? A plow. Okay, the plow is always behind them. Who's behind the plow? The farmer. If we are in God's yoke, He is always directing us. He is always able to direct us and guide us to the work that He has for us. So it's important to be in the yoke of Christ. How many of us want God's direction for our lives? Stay yoked up with Christ. You will end up in the place that you want to be at the end of the day. Guarantee it. Every time. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Somebody read that for me. I'm about to be like Sister Betty. She just calls on people. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. So we just read Matthew 11:29, talking about being yoked with Christ. And I want somebody to read Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Brother Brad, you got that over there? Can you read that for me? Jeremiah 6:16, please.
Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it.
Thank you. So as I was reading this scripture, I began to understand that Matthew 11:29 and Jeremiah 6:16 are talking about the same thing. They're both speaking about direction. The scripture also says in a different translation, stop at the crossroads and look around. So when you're at a crossroad, you have a choice, right? There's different directions to go. When we're yoked with Christ, you will always be led in the right direction every time. Even if it seems like a mess at first and you know God is leading you, it will make sense. God will do it. It also speaks of finding rest for our souls. How many of us, even when we're in difficult situations, when we know we're in the will of God and doing what He wants us to do, have rest in your soul? Have you ever been there? Now, you may have seasons of unrest because you begin to question and say, God, I feel like this is a wreck right now. I don't understand what you're doing. You haven't given me another direction, so I'm going to continue to walk on this road that I believe you've called me on. And sometimes we follow it up with, God, if this isn't the road, point me to a new one. Because I don't want to go through this unless you're there leading me. Anybody ever been there? I've been there too. And listening to people's experiences, when we bail out, God's going to bring us right back because that's where He wants us to be. So when we're yoked with Christ, we're going to do what He wants us to do. And it's part of helping our hearts be an inhabitable place for Him. Talking about obedience also. talking about direction, taking God's direction, and obeying Him. And obeying Him. Because, I mean, let's be real. If we do what we want to do, it's going to be fun for a season, right? It's going to seem good for a season. But sometimes we eat the bitter fruit of our doing, and it's not fun anymore. I was talking with a gentleman today. He was explaining some things to me, that some bad decisions that he had made earlier in his life and how they affected him now. And if we would have made the right decisions then, how much better off would we be now? And so at this point in our lives, let's strive to make godly decisions that are going to lead us down godly roads. Because when we're walking in the will of God, guess what? Other people are noticing that, and we're going to be able to plant seeds, more seed in people's lives than we would if we were walking our own way and just doing our own thing. So another way, and we've already talked a little bit about this, to continue this inhabitable place in our heart, is we need to invite Him into our everyday life. We just can't be a Sunday Christian. I can't just come into church on Sunday and smile and shake hands with everybody and tell everybody I'm doing great, and then Monday morning, when my boss starts riding me, and I have an opportunity later on in the day to speak blessing or cursing about my boss, what choice am I going to make? Am I going to say, man, that guy, he just wouldn't get off me today, and then start talking negatively? It's easy to do. And a lot of times in our flesh, we can justify it. But that's not what God wants. God has told us to speak blessing and not cursing. And when we do that, continually, I believe that because we've spoken these words, God will begin to do a work in the person that we have been tempted to speak negatively about. Try it. I dare you. I dare you to try it. God's dared me to try it, and I've been doing it. And sometimes if you can't speak a blessing, don't say anything at all. Right? If you know you open your mouth, you're going to say something you're going to regret, say it louder. Okay, I will. Don't yell at me. Gosh. But it's true. It's true. So we invite Him into our everyday life. Because let's be real, God wants to get down to the nitty-gritty where we're living. The things that we deal with, the things that we struggle with in our lives that keep us from growing in Him. And when I say growing in Him, it's not a religious term, it's relationship. The more I grow in my relationship with God, the more I look like Him to the people around me. And the more people see Christ in me, the more people want to know about Him and eventually know Him. And then we are disciples making disciples, making disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? Sister April.
I just wanted to share what I love about God is that He brings us into a community of believers. You know, He places us, He shows us, He leads us, He guides us, and He directs us. And I know when I first got saved and we first started coming here, I was a little Catholic girl, so it was quiet. And you sit, kneel, stand, don't say anything. So when I come here and everybody's being loud and playing the drums and the guitar, I'm like, oh my, what is this? And I remember my husband saying, what did you think? And I was like, well, you better go first. And he said, I loved it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta go back to that place. It's really scary there. But I didn't know the Holy Spirit. I knew of God, but I didn't know God. And coming here and just sitting and listening to, you know, the people that God has placed in my life, you know, understanding that I had no idea what the Bible said. And what did I hear when I come here? Read your Bible. Well, I was never taught that. I was never told that I should read my Bible. I didn't know that. And guess what? When I read it, it told me how to heal my heart, my mind. It told me what to think. You know, and then other people, when I was like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I had a sister come along, and we would go out and we would talk, and I could share personal things, and they're like, hey, you're not alone. That's normal. Right. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm normal. I'm growing. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's just like God, he brings you together, and don't be afraid to speak to people. You know, don't be afraid to try that new church if you feel a pull. You know, don't be afraid to talk to people. If you see someone and you're like, oh, maybe I should go say hi. Yes. Yes, you should. Yeah. You should go say hi to them. Welcome them. Make them feel comfortable, a part of. Help them to grow, because if you don't, who will show them? If we don't be God's hands and feet in his mouth, peace here, who will?
Right. So. Yeah. We were discipled right here at the Lighthouse, and that's why we stayed. We got connected with people that we knew loved God, and we knew they loved us. And that made all the difference when we were going through hard times. We had people we could trust to go say, this is a mess, and I don't know what to do. I'm not giving up on God. I'm walking with God. But what do we do? Like, I don't even know. My life's getting better, but it's not perfect. And I'm struggling with these things. And so that's a part of discipleship. It is a part of discipleship and a part of growing in the body of Christ. Thank you for that comment. So we're talking about spiritual wellness. We're talking about making our hearts an inhabitable place for God. We know that the flesh is hostile to God, never obeyed his commands, and never will. We've talked about inviting God into our everyday life, not just being a Sunday Christian, about being a Christian 7 days a week. And I love this. Pastor Joe introduced me to this. But there is no secular activity when you're a Christian. And the first couple times he said it, I'm like, okay, whatever. And then it hit me. I'm a Christian all the time. All the time. So the more I grow in God, the more I understand that. So another way that we continue to make our hearts and keep our hearts inhabitable to God is we follow him. We follow God. We study his word. We talk to him. We listen to praise music. We listen to worship music. We worship God and we praise him. We follow him. We obey him. I know it kind of seems like I'm hitting obedience hard tonight. It's because I am. It's just what's been stirring in me. How can I say I love God and I put my trust in him? I put my faith in him for saving my soul. But when he leads me in a simple direction, am I stubborn? Do I say, God, you don't know better. If I go down that way, it's not going to end good. I know how this is going to work. Or we don't trust God in a decision that we need to make when we feel like God is leading us in a direction. And it might seem harsh, and it's a process, right? This is a process, as Pastor Joe was talking about. Sometimes we have to walk through the process that God is leading us into. We will end up in the desired place when we obey God. Because when we take that step of obedience and we find that he's there, the next time we're asked to take a step of obedience, we're going to remember that time when we were obedient. And wow, God was right. Imagine that. My creator knows me better than I know myself. Wow. So I'm saying that, talking about obedience, relating it to faith, relating it to trust, is because, and I could be wrong about this, and this is how I see it, okay? I'll just present it like that. But when we disobey God, there's a root cause. There's a reason that we don't just say yes to God. Sometimes it's just our flesh, we get in our flesh, and I understand that. But I'm talking about a recurring areas of our lives. But for God to do what he really wants to in us, he needs access to every part of our heart. And sometimes we'll compartmentalize and we'll close off areas of ourselves. We'll say, God, you can have this part of me right here because You know, it's easy for me to be over here and you can do what you want as long as I'm right here. But when God asks you to go over here into this part, it's like, whoa, get out of there. Because there's stuff in there I don't want to deal with. And it's at that point we have a choice to make. And our choices will reflect our relationship with God. It won't affect them. God's going to love us, right? I have to say that. God loves us no matter what. He always has and he always will. But for personal growth, we need to get to the place where we open up our hearts completely to God. And when he brings us to a point, a place, that he wants to deal with something inside of us, we need to let him. We need to let him. Pastor Joe.
So we've been talking about spiritual wellness, right? And spiritual wellness is wholeness. Yes. And I think, you know, this whole time we've been discussing stewardship, it's important to point out that as Christians, we must be led by our spirit. That means that the leadership of our life is the Spirit of God that lives in us. And therefore, then, out of that flows everything that we do. It even reaches into our soul, which we talked about a little bit tonight, and even our physical body. And God wants us to be whole people, body, soul, and spirit. And I think sometimes we miss that part in the church world. We think, well, you know, the body is separate from the soul, and the soul is separate from the spirit, and sometimes we have these conflicts and things like that, and conflicts will arise in our inner being, in our inner person, but we are supposed to be led, which means the leader of our life is the Spirit of God who lives inside of us, who has awakened our spirit unto God, and the two have become one. And that's how we become born again, or we're a new person in Christ Jesus, is through the Spirit of God. And then what he does is he redeems our soul. And that is the salvation of our soul is instant, but it's also a process. And there's one day where it will be finalized, right? When we make it to heaven with him. So it's an ongoing process of the saving of our soul. But in that process is also the outward showing of what God's doing inside of us to our physical body. And I think it's important for us, when we're talking about spiritual wellness, that we pause for a moment and really realize we're talking about being a whole person, body, soul, spirit, and being whole, being well in every aspect of our life. We've talked about, you know, physical wellness and being stewards of our bodies, stewards of our money, stewards of our time. All of that comes from this, what we're talking about right now, is understanding how the Spirit of God works inside of our life and following him. And as we grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit is actually leading our life, when we say we confess with our mouth that we believe, but we believe that God rose him from the dead, but we also declare and make him Lord of our life, that means that we surrender control. And that Spirit of God that now lives inside of us is who is in charge of our life.
Right.
And as we walk that out, as we live that out, and I want to be clear, Brother Jesse's been trying to say this, and I think he's been doing a good job at it, is that takes practice.
Right.
And we're going to mess it up. We're not always going to get it right. We're going to think we hear the Spirit, and it isn't the Spirit, right? And then we're going to hear the Spirit and think it's not the Spirit. Then we're going to hear the Spirit and know it's the Spirit, but still not do anything about it, right? It's all a practice. And as we just keep marching along and talking with God, we learn how to better do it over and over again. But what we're really talking about right now is being whole people. And that's what God wants us to be, whole. And there's times in the Bible you see Jesus, he encounters people and he heals them. But then they go on their way. And then there's other times where he looks at them and it says, your faith has made you whole. And there's a difference between just being healed from something, having a touch of Jesus in your life, having an encounter with Jesus, or really coming to the place where you have become whole. And that's what God wants to do in our life through Amen. His Spirit in us.
Amen. Amen. Great comment. And sometimes we don't understand what whole is because we've been broken for so long that we have no idea what wholeness means. Really know what it means. We can have a concept of it because we may have heard some things about it and we may understand a part of it. But what God really wants to do in us, I don't think we can really grasp it. So it's something that we can attain through relationship with the Spirit of God and what He's doing in us. And the grace of God is amazing. He enables us to do what He's called us to do. He enables us to build relationship with Him. He desires that. He longs for that. And so it's an encouraging part, an encouraging aspect to understand in our relationship that these are things that God desires. We're not working for them. It's relational. Now, I'll use this example real quick of my relationship for my wife. I don't have to earn a relationship with my wife. We have a relationship. We've entered into a marriage covenant. But sometimes I want to do something for my wife to show that I appreciate her. She loves to just spend time together sometimes. It can be hard for me to do that, but that aspect of the relationship, I will just do that because I love my wife and I love to be with her. And so it's the same way with God. When He opens up a door and we walk through it, it builds relationship with Him. So we've got just a little bit of time left, and I just want to touch on the last part of this, and we might get done a couple minutes early, but that's okay. So once we have become spiritually well, we know we're in right standing with God, as Pastor Joe said, we're still going to make mistakes along the way. It's not like we've arrived someplace where we're perfect with God. We're going to do everything right. We're always going to get it right the first time. We're never going to miss anything. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's just not. We're human. We're flesh. We still deal with our flesh. Does anybody in here never have a problem with your flesh? Your flesh never jumps up and says, I think you should. Okay, we have a house full of Christians tonight. Everybody's being honest. And I don't want to seem like I'm there because I'm not. But I'm working on my relationship with God. Focusing in on what I feel in my heart He is leading me to do. And that's all anyone can do. Is build their relationship with Christ. Hear Him. Be yoked with Him. When we know He's stepping, we step. When we know He's resting, we rest. We follow God. And here's the cool thing about it, and I've said this a little bit, but His Word is the standard for spiritual well-being. His Word is our direction, so we don't get all flaky and go over here and do, well, the Spirit told me to do this. Well, you know, that really doesn't line up with the Word of God. So you might have just gotten a little bit off track, but that's okay. Let's come back into alignment here and get back into focus. We're going to do things like that sometimes, okay? Sometimes we make mistakes. But we have the Word of God that is our plumb line. We can always go back to it. Amen? Amen. So spiritual healthy disciples are more likely to make spiritually healthy disciples. If I'm sick all the time and I'm talking to somebody else about being healthy, man, you should be healthy. You should eat right. You should take care of yourself. And I'm sick 28 days out of 30 of the month, you think that person's going to stop taking my advice pretty soon or stop hanging around me? Yeah, it's going to happen, right? And it's the same way. If I'm spiritually sick and I'm continually telling someone else how to be spiritually well, I should probably take my own advice before I try to give it to someone else, right? So when we're spiritually healthy, we will make disciples. It's just what happens. God will lead us to make other disciples. You will have a stirring in your spirit at some point. Let's say, what is this, November? I'll just say it like this. At some point next month, to begin to make a disciple. You will have that stirring at some point between now, I'll just say it like this too, in 2 months, at the end of January, to begin to disciple someone. Pay attention. God is going to do it. Look for that relationship. Pastor Darius.
I just want to share the way that verse that you quoted in Matthew 11:29, the way this version quotes it, it's really interesting. And I want to share this with my brothers and sisters. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The message.
That is beautiful. I want to share this just really quick too, and I read this on my YouVersion app. But it talked about, you know, if you can imagine yourself sitting on a beach somewhere, the temperature is whatever you want it to be, okay? And you're sitting in a chair, whatever chair you like, and the person that's sitting beside you is Jesus. There's no one else there. The beach is empty. No workers, no nothing. What would you say to Jesus? What is on your mind? What is on your heart that you would share with your Creator? And it's sometimes illustrations like that help me to acknowledge that He is with me and He lives inside of me. And that's really what God wants us to do, is to get away with Him, as that interpretation of the Scripture said, or translation, sorry, that translation of the Scripture said, and open up to God. Open up to God. It can be easier to do that for me anyways around the holidays. If something happens inside of me, I enjoy it, and it's easier for me to do that. So this time of year, or in January, tomorrow, next week, I want to encourage you to sit down, make some time, and get alone with God. You'll be glad you did. Ephesians 5:18, I want to say this. And our assistant general bishop quoted this scripture when he was here teaching. I think it was Friday night at Refuel Conference. But Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, we will have overflow. What is in us will flow out of us. There will be an overflow of what is inside of you. And then whoever is around you will be saturated in what is coming out of you. So we need to make sure that we're getting the right thing inside of us. We realize we're filled with the Spirit of God. We've spent time with God. We build our relationship with Him. And now what is coming out of us is going to be what someone else needs to hear. I guarantee it. I see it so often. It's amazing how God works. It is amazing how God works. And then that person who God has put in your life to disciple, who is getting your overflow and is getting to know Christ on their own, but seeing Him through you, is going to begin to understand the concept of discipleship. And the disciples will make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. The Great Commission is fulfilled. When the gospel has reached the ends of the earth, what happens then? Does anybody know? Jesus is going to return. So if you want Jesus to return soon, spread the gospel. Spread the gospel. Amen. Pastor Alicia.
As you were saying that healthy people will produce disciples, it reminded me of, I think it was Peter and John that were going to the temple, and they saw a man who was lame, and he was wanting money, and they said, we don't have money, but what we have, we give to you. And it just reminds me, we don't get healthy for ourselves. We get healthy because people are depending on us.
Yes.
And so had they not had what they had, that man would still be lame. But because they had spent time with Christ and they were spiritually healthy and they were able to impart healing, the healing of Christ, now that man could be whole as well.
Yes.
And so this is so important because it's not just about us.
Right.
It's about our children. It's about our neighbors. It's about our coworkers. It's about this world that needs Jesus. And the only way they're going to see it is if we are healthy.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing these comments. They've been great. My faith is stirred. I am encouraged. I want to leave us with one scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. People are looking to you to know who Christ is. So I want to encourage you, shine the light of the gospel. Shine the light of Jesus. You'll affect so many people for the kingdom of God. If you would bow your heads with me, we'll pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you so much for everyone who's here. God, I just pray that you would continue to help us, God, as we grow our relationship with you, Lord. And we just look forward to what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. God, I pray that you would bless each home, bless each family. In Jesus' name, amen.